If you have your Bible, please turn to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. As you know, we have been going through the book of Proverbs together. And we are right now in the midst of the 30 sayings that King Solomon is imparting to his son. He sits down his son, he's going through all these different wisdom literature, and then in the midst of all that, he says, let me give you 30 things to remember, 30 things to keep in mind. And so we are going to wrap up that little area of the 30 sayings in Proverbs. I think one of the things that's very interesting in our society today, in our generation today, that a lot of us might not have experienced the fullest are things such as ratings. It's easy for us nowadays to go and find restaurants and want to know what is the best item to purchase. Right, it's easy for us to go on perhaps maybe Yelp. A lot of us probably have that app on our phones where if we want to go find a restaurant to eat, we always go and look on Yelp, right? And a lot of times we tell our group and companions the places that we choose is depending on the number of stars they have. And it's like, oh, this place has 4 stars. That looks pretty good. 4.5 stars, even better. And oftentimes, especially if you're really in the know, you know that the higher the stars, most likely the better the restaurant. Unless you go to a Chinese restaurant where you need to find the right balance between the stars, because if it's too low, it's not good. If it's too high, it's not good as well. Because you know the best Chinese restaurants don't give a rip about what you think, because people will come because they're good. And if they give too much service, you start asking why. And nowadays, we'll go online, and then we want to purchase something. We go on Amazon, and then we look at the ratings, and we look at the reviews for Amazon. We want to know what the rating is. Is this thing good? Is it trustworthy? Is it reliable? And then we start finding out we're not even sure if we can trust the ratings itself. So then you have to go on another website to see if the ratings are actually trustworthy. Yeah, for those who are really in the know, they know that you can't trust all Amazon ratings or comments or reviews, that you have to go to a different website to see if it's trustworthy. Nowadays, we are struggling to figure out what is actually good. What is actually good? And can I have confidence in what people say if those things are actually good? All right? We might go, we see these things and we go purchase it, and then we find out for ourselves, this product was not as good as what it says online, or this restaurant was not as good as I thought it was supposed to be. I ordered all the right things, I purchased all the right things, I paid the right price, and I find out that this thing was did not meet expectations. This morning what we're going to see is that wisdom, God's wisdom, is twofold. It's strong. That it is strong and it's good wisdom. It's not flimsy, cheap wisdom. It's actually wisdom that you can live by, and then you can have confidence in that wisdom. And so we can be confident in the strength of God's wisdom. We can be confident in the strength of God's wisdom. And so for us this morning, we're going to see, and we're going to go ahead, there's going to be 30 sayings that we're going through. So we are going to go through saying 19 through saying 30. But just like last time, we're going to try to wrap things up a little bit. And so we'll go through saying 19 through 25, and then we'll go through saying 26 through 30. And we're going to see maybe a summary of what these two things are. And so we're going to do things a little bit different. And hopefully you don't get lost. I'm going to go through one by one. I'll read a couple verses, and then I'll summarize what the saying is. And hopefully these slides would be clear in that. So let's go ahead. We are in chapter 24 of Proverbs, and we're going to read from verse 1. It says this. Be not envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their hearts devise violence, and their lips talk of trouble. So this saying 19, simply bad friends are bad influences. Verse 3 to 4, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Wisdom's benefits, a strong enough foundation for life and for home. Verse 5, a wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge enhances his might. For by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. True strength is found in wisdom. True strength is found in wisdom. Wisdom is too high for a fool. In the gate he does not open his mouth. Saying 22, wisdom, they have nothing to say, wisdom is needed. They might talk a lot, but once they actually need wisdom, they have nothing to say. Verse 8, whoever plans to do evil will be called a schemer. The devising of folly is sin. The scoffer is an abomination to mankind. Evildoers have a bad reputation. Verse 10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. This is actually an exhortation. It's actually an exhortation to be strong and courageous in the time of adversity, to not faint in the day of adversity. In verse 11 and 12, and this is where we're going to end this section, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we do not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? Saying 25, protect justice, proclaim wisdom's benefits, and warn against foolish living. That wisdom is calling us to protect justice, proclaim its benefits, and warn against foolish living. So what we see here is King Solomon, he's teaching his son that true strength is actually found in wisdom. That if you want to live a strong life, you want to live a wise life. So we see that it's strong enough and it's precious enough to build your life around in saying 20. And in saying 21, it says a wise man is full of strength and knowledge enhances his might. We're reminded that foolish people have nothing to say in the times of adversity, which is saying 22. Saying 24 admonishes us for having small strength. He's warning us that you will fail in the times of adversity if you do not rely on wisdom's strength. It is an exhortation to depend and find strength in wisdom so you can withstand the adversity. And lastly, we see what we do with this wisdom. With this wisdom, with the strength of this wisdom, we should protect justice. We should proclaim wisdom's benefit, and we should warn against foolish living. So if we were to summarize maybe these sayings together, we're trying to summarize it together, what we would say is that we should find wisdom's strength in living and proclaiming its wisdom. That there's strength in wisdom for living and for proclaiming. So in other words, for people who belong to Jesus Christ, we should take courage in relying on the strength of not our own wisdom, but on Jesus' wisdom in our lives. So here's the thing, right? We're not relying on our own wisdom. We don't think that our wisdom is good enough or strong enough during the difficult times, the times that we're being challenged, but we should seek after Jesus' wisdom. And we're reminded and we see that in the book of Proverbs, when they're talking about wisdom and godly wisdom, he's not just talking about how to live a right life or a good life or a life that would be prosperous. He talks about all those things, but he's painting a picture of that the foundation of this wisdom is not a wisdom that you find in yourself, but a wisdom that you find in God. And as we continue to see in Scripture, and in the New Testament, that this wisdom is not just wisdom that is found, it's not just wisdom that we find, but wisdom that is expressed in the life of Jesus. And so we can come sitting here today knowing that the wisdom expressed in Proverbs is the wisdom that Jesus has lived out for us. And on top of that, we see as believers that we've seen and experienced Jesus' wise wisdom in His redemption plan. In the way that He has come and lived His life, He modeled and lived out selflessness and righteousness. He has become the example of true humility, of real love and compassion. We look to Jesus and we see real courage, we see real strength found in obedience in His Heavenly Father and our Heavenly Father. So what we see in Jesus' life is wise living is actually godly living. Wise living is actually obedient living to the Heavenly Father. That godly living is trusting in His Word and knowing His Word is strong enough for us to build our lives upon. That wise living, and what wise living really is godly living. And what godly living really is living in obedience to God, knowing that that is a strong enough foundation for us to build our lives upon. I understand that this idea isn't really difficult. But of course, the execution is. The execution of living this way is difficult. Seeking after God's will, striving to obey and live out His revealed will for us in Scripture, where your life will be built on this strong foundation, is difficult, isn't it? It's difficult for us. But the thing is for us that we are reminded that we will be strong and courageous during times of great adversities because we have built our life upon God's wisdom. And we see in this section that we find out where we have built our lives upon during times of great adversity. And then in the end of this passage, He reminds us that we don't keep this wisdom to ourselves. But in fact, we go and proclaim wisdom's benefits to those around us. And the benefit for us to proclaim is that living our lives obedient to Jesus, knowing that He has come to redeem and reconcile us to God, that is great news. And it's wise for all of us to turn from our sins and turn toward Jesus in faith. That we don't want to keep that for ourselves, but we should tell others. And at the end of the day, it says that we have no excuse. We can't say we didn't know about it. Like, it says that God knows the heart. He goes, you know these two things, that God's wisdom is something strong enough that you can build your life on. But you also know that there are people building their lives upon a foundation apart from God Himself. And we should go and proclaim that to people. In Texas, high school football is king. High school football is king. It is known that a lot of people would say that football is the religion of Texas. And so you might think it's kind of odd for us. Maybe we'll see that college football is a big deal, or pro football is definitely a big deal in the Bay Area. People love the Niners. People are upset about the Raiders leaving. People care about football here. But if you think that people care about football here, they absolutely care about football in Texas, and especially high school football. In 2012, in the city of Allen, Texas, which is a little bit north of Dallas, is a suburb north of Dallas, in 2012, they started building a new football stadium for their high school. A $60 million stadium for not their district, for one high school. Imagine that. $60 million for one high school. Now, think about maybe Hayward High or American High going, we're going to go and drop $60 million to build a stadium just for us. Right? There's no way that's happening here. But over there, they went and voted and they're like, sure, sounds like a great idea. Let's do it. And as they started building the stadium, they finished in 2014, this beautiful stadium just for their school, they started noticing something. They started noticing there was cracks in the concrete. At first, it's no big deal. Small classes say that concrete is, you know, they move, concrete moves around and it shrinks and it'll crack. But then slowly these small cracks became wider and wider, up to 20 times what is allowed in the industry standard. So in 2014, they built this stadium. Before they can even start using the stadium, they realized that these deep cracks in the foundation of their stadium, they had shut it down to fix it. They had no choice. They had to. This $60 million brand new stadium. But because of the mistake of engineering, construction, and or architecture, everyone's blaming each other. Nobody wants to take blame. Who knows? The whole thing gets shut down. And they had to go and fix it. Imagine that. A city spending all this time and money building up this beautiful stadium only to find there that was some oversight or lack of oversight, a lack of the right structure, a lack of the right foundation, or the lack of the right resources. This whole thing is about to collapse. See, oftentimes in our own lives, we try to find strength in our own wisdom, what we think is right for our lives. And so we pour in a lot of time and resources trying to figure out what do I think is best for my life. And so we start building, don't we? We go, maybe you go and you get that education because you know that's what's right for my life. So you go to a college, you go to a good college, a right college. You go and get the right degree. Maybe you go for a master's degree or a PhD, or maybe you go and learn how to polish up on your interviews. And you go and you find the right job, the good job, that pays the right amount. And you have this whole thing set up for your life. I get this job, I get married, I have 2.5 kids, I buy this house, I get these two or three cars, and then I'm going to build my life, and here's this beautiful picture of my life. By my wisdom, I'll build this up. But it lacks foundation in God's Word. It lacks the structure in the wisdom of God. And slowly but surely, you start seeing cracks in your own life. First, it's small. Because, of course, in all life, you're not going to have it perfect. Slowly gets wider and wider, bigger and bigger. And in this section, King Solomon is reminding and exhorting his son, build your life, build that foundation, not on your own wisdom, but on God's wisdom. And for us, as we sit here, we know that we build our lives not on our own wisdom, but on God's wisdom displayed in the life of Jesus, in His sacrifice. That we build our lives on Jesus as our foundation. That we should say, we should see and understand that what God shows us in Scripture is trustworthy and good, and we can build our lives on. But for a lot of us this morning, living in God's wisdom is difficult. Because we feel like, as we try to build our lives on God's wisdom, it feels more like walking across a creaky old bridge that might fall apart any second, instead of solid ground. It feels shaky. We find it hard to trust God's way in our own lives. And when we find it hard to trust God's wisdom for our own lives, we end up lacking the courage and conviction to share this great wisdom and great news to those who need it most. Right? How can we share this amazing wisdom that we can build our have it laid down as a foundation of our lives if we don't experience it ourselves? Scripture is reminding us that living without God's wisdom will show up in adversity. That it will show up in the strength and in the weight of life. When you stop building your life on God's wisdom and knowledge, cracks will show. And here's the warning for us that we see this morning. Don't Let that happen. He's strong and courageous in God's wisdom in the times of adversity. Hold on to His truth. Don't let it go. Not only should we find strength in God's wisdom for our lives, but we should proclaim it as well and share this wisdom with others. We should be confident that God's wisdom is good enough for them. Yesterday, I attended a wedding where there's clearly this wedding and the people there, you know that they were not believers. And so everything that was set up in the ceremony and in the reception and all these things they weren't believers. They had no notion or understanding of who Christ is or how much hope Christ gives. And it was a beautiful wedding, beautiful ceremony. It was a wonderful, wonderful wedding. I had a good time. But as we finished and as I went home, I remember as I laid in bed and I started talking to my wife and I said, you know what something I just felt like was missing? Hope. Not to say it was hopeless. Not to say what their vows were hopeless or their love was not real. But I recognized and understood that there was not a depth that you find in Christ. And I recognized and understood, this is the best the world has to offer. And I leave going, there's something that's missing. And for me, I knew that what's missing is Christ. There's just something richer and deeper knowing that Christ loves me deeply and intimately, and that Christ loves them deeply and intimately. And in that time, and in just something as simple as a celebration of a wedding, I can see that, man, there's something more to life than just this. And for us, if we call ourselves believers, followers of Jesus, knowing that there is this wisdom, something that we can build our lives upon, knowing that there's something richer and deeper, something better, will we not share it to those around us? Do we not have the confidence to know that what we offer is something better, not something worse? And so let's keep on going to see that not only should we see strength in God's wisdom, but we should be confident that God's wisdom would also deal with evil. That we should be confident that God's wisdom will deal with evil. So let's look at verse 13 together. And we'll read from verse 13 to verse 22. So verse 13. My son, eat honey, for it is good, and the drippings of the honeycomb are sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is such to your soul. If you find it, there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off. We see that wisdom, this is saying number 26, that wisdom secures hope. And it's like honey, it is sweet, and it is pleasant. It is sweet, and it is pleasant. Wisdom is not something bitter. It's not a bitter pill you take. Verse 15, lie not in wait as a wicked man against the dwelling of the righteous. Do no violence to his home. For the righteous falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity. Saying 27, don't join the wicked in injustice. Reminds us the righteous are the ones that get up. The wicked stays down. Verse 17, do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord sees it and be displeased and turn away his anger from him. Don't celebrate the downfall of the wicked. Saying 28. Verse 19, fret not yourself because of evildoers, and be not envious of the wicked. For the evil man has no future. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. Don't despair in believing. The wicked will go unpunished. Saying 29. Don't despair. And saying 30. Verse 21, 22. My son, fear the Lord and the king. and do not join with those who do otherwise. For disaster will arise suddenly from them, and who knows the ruin that will come from them both. Respect authority, both human and divine, but mainly fear the Lord. Saying 30, fear the Lord. Respect authority, human and divine, and fear the Lord. So we see that this passage continues talking about wisdom. And it says that it compares wisdom like honey. And back in ancient times, they had no sugar like the way we had. So the natural sweetener would be honey. And it says that wisdom, it secures hope. It is sweet and it's pleasant like honey. It is a good thing. It's not some bitter pill that you have to swallow and get through in life. And then we see in saying 27, 28, 29, the three don'ts in how we relate to evil. Don't join them. Don't celebrate when they fail and fall. And don't despair if they don't. Don't join them in their injustice. Don't celebrate when they fall. Because that would just be prideful and arrogant and self-righteous. But don't despair if they don't. Thinking that, oh, well, where's true justice? And lastly, just be confident. Be confident in God's wisdom against evil. And saying 30 also reminds us that we should respect authority. It says, fear the Lord and the king of that time, which is very applicable to us this morning of what does it look like to fear the Lord as we live in this society, and what is this for us to respect the office of presidency, but also in a way that, praise Jesus, living in America, we do have the freedom of speech, to express in a humble and respectful way places we dissent. But overall, as we see in the last verse, overall we should fear the Lord. We fear the Lord. The Lord is our true King that we follow and fear. And so we see in this passage what Solomon is reminding his son, that he should be confident in God's wisdom against evil. In God's wisdom against evil. Be confident that God is wise and that his wisdom has and will continue to deal with evil. And for us, we can see how God has dealt with evil. How God has dealt with my evil. That as we were reminded that the true wisdom has been displayed in the life of Jesus, but has also been displayed in the death of Jesus. As this Palm Sunday, we are marching towards Good Friday, and Good Friday is not a day that we are reminded of how evil those people were who crucified Jesus, but we're reminded how our own sin and our own evil nailed Jesus to the cross. And we see how God dealt with my evil, and dealt with the evil of sinners, of people like me and people like you. How did he deal with that evil? Did he ignore it? No. Did he let it buck pass by? No. Was he defeated by it? No. He paid the consequence for that evil, that Jesus has paid the consequence for that evil. Fulfilling the justice of our Heavenly Father. And so when we ask ourselves, well, what does God do with evil? How does God deal with evil? We can say confidently, God dealt with evil by crucifying His Son. So someone like me and someone like you can be reconciled and have a right relationship with God. That's how He dealt with evil. He paid for it. He fulfilled it. So we can be confident in the time of evil, when we see lots of evil going on in our society today, as we ask ourselves, God, what are you going to do? We know that God is just, and we know God is right, and we know that He is sovereign, and that He has and will continue to deal with evil. We know that no one will go unpunished. One might escape justice in this lifetime, but they will not escape injustice in the life to come. I am reminded again and again from things like the shooting in Parkland, going, what great injustice. Can one person's punishment and one person's life fulfill the justice of losing 17? Of course not. Or I'm reminded by the bombings in Austin. Can one person escape justice by just taking his own life? No. They cannot escape justice. But we're also reminded, can I escape God's justice? Am I able to live a life righteous enough to balance out the scales? No. That we need God and His mercy and God's Son's payment to fulfill that injustice. I would have to say, the one thing that I've learned, and one of the most difficult things of being a pastor, that school never prepared me for, was the burden of knowing and being in the midst of a lot of dark and heavy situations. The pain of the congregation, or the people sitting in this room, I would say, this morning, can be felt deep within my soul at times. That there's a lot of pain and frustrations and hurts, that even in our midst today, there are times when I'm alone, I can feel it. When someone is diagnosed with cancer, or a parent that worries about their children straying from the Lord, a student who hates to go home because of the hurts and the things that go on at home. Parents, friends passing away, marriages on the brink of destruction, people hurting themselves and each other. And there is times, if I'm honest with myself, I will sit alone and I would feel that weight. I would feel that weight. I would feel that darkness. And sometimes, if I'm honest with myself, it would feel hopeless. But in those times, I'm reminded to pray for you, to pray hard for you. Because in my moment of weakness, sometimes I just want to take some of you and shake you and go, can you please just trust the Lord? Don't you know He is good? How can you not see that if you can just build your life on His Word, if you can just obey His Word, it turns out well for you. It turns out good for you. It is what's best for you. And it's just like sometimes I want to just, how do I convince you that this is what's best for you? My heart breaks and it aches knowing people who are just like, I don't want to do it that way. I want to go my own way. I'm seeing you destroy your life. I'm seeing you destroy the lives of those around you. It's like you're chasing your own tail, thinking that's where true joy and happiness lies. I'm going, if you catch it, you will get nothing. You get nothing. You'll be so disappointed. But during those times, I'm driven to prayer. And I'm reminded in Scripture and confident in God and His wisdom that all evil will be dealt. And I know that His hand is not short enough to save you this morning. So I pray and I ask the Lord, may they gain the confidence in you, knowing that evil was dealt with, the debt has been paid, evil has lost, Jesus is victorious, for you to see it for yourself. Friends, we should be confident, but also fearful, knowing that God in His infinite wisdom has and will continue to reign victorious over evil. We should be confident in our Heavenly Father that no evil will go unpunished. Perhaps the evil you have experienced personally in your own life, or the evil that we see in this world, that we can be confident that no evil will go unpunished. Recently, I was reminded as I saw that there's a lot of cold cases in our nation, even cold cases in the Bay Area, of people committing great atrocities and people wanting justice. I can be confident that God will reign victorious over evil, and that there is no one that can ever escape evil. We can be confident in that. We can be confident in God's wisdom. But at the same time, it's fearful, isn't it? It's fearful because if we are honest with ourselves, we know that I am a sinner. That I have placed myself in opposition to God. And apart from Jesus, I too stand guilty before a holy God. And the continual rejection of God's good wisdom, ultimately shown in His Son, Jesus Christ, will prove to be futile and disastrous. So I ask you today, friends, will you turn from your sin? Will you turn from your foolishness today and turn to Jesus and His wisdom? Will you stop chasing after your own wisdom, trying to build your life only to find it full of cracks? Will you be willing to humble yourself and say, I'll trust your way? Will you be confident in knowing that God will deal with evil and that the wisest thing is for you to have your evil dealt with on the cross of Jesus Christ instead of bearing it yourself? As we remember, as we celebrate Palm Sunday this morning, we're reminded that the same people who shouted, Hosanna! Hosanna! As they welcomed their king into Jerusalem, also shouted, crucify him! Crucify him! 5 days later. Foolish are the ones who actually seen and experienced the kingship of Jesus and continually and actively reject him. This morning, may I invite you to build your life confidently on the strength of God's wisdom, seen in our resurrected Savior and King, Jesus. And if you have been building your life on your own wisdom, you don't have to do it anymore. And here's the great news. You can always turn back. That you can never stray far enough where Jesus can't reach you. That is the good news for all of us, isn't it? This week has been a terrible week for me. It's just been a bad week. Bad decisions. Even bad decisions I made unintentionally. Sometimes I just feel like I just can't even make good decisions when I want to make good decisions. A lot of us feel that way. I almost ran a red light because instinctively I wanted to go because it's all green. It wasn't even my green. And then I found out there's a red light camera. I'm going, I know the camera's right there and I know what the right thing to do and I'm trying to do the right thing, but sometimes instinctively I just do the wrong thing. And a lot of times we feel that way, right? We go, instinctively I just end up doing the wrong thing sometimes. Like I am just so bound by my sin and myself that I know what's right, I'm trying to do what's right, and then like instinct kicks in and I do the wrong thing. But what we know and we see in Scripture, God says you can always turn around. I'm right here. You can turn from your sin and turn towards me, and there's forgiveness. There's reconciliation. There's hope deeper and richer that cannot be given in this world. So for us this morning, Will you say, I choose to believe in God's wisdom for my college and my future? Will you say, I will choose to believe in God's wisdom as I struggle to raise my child alone? Will you say, I will choose to believe and build my life on God's wisdom when my spouse wants nothing to do with me and my marriage is a wreck? Will you say, I will choose and believe to build my confidence and my life on the strength of God's wisdom in the midst of great pain and sadness and adversity? Will you choose to believe that God's wisdom is sweet like honey, that you can build your life upon it? Can we come together and say, yes, this is what my soul has been longing for? And then, will we be bold enough to proclaim the sweet wisdom to those who are perishing around us? For some of us this morning, may we turn away from our death-dealing foolishness and evil, turn back to Jesus, knowing forgiveness and acceptance is found in Jesus, our true King. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we innately know that we want to live wise lives. I don't think any one of us here chooses to make decisions to actively ruin our own lives. We are trying to make decisions that we feel will be better for our lives, that will bring us happiness, bring us joy. But God, many of us are choosing a wisdom that is apart from you. And they're finding that choosing this wisdom leaves them empty-handed. Yet they keep on going back to that well over and over, thinking maybe this time my soul will be quenched from its thirst. May you convict their hearts this morning to see that perhaps they're chasing the wrong thing, drinking out of a poisonous well that will ultimately kill them. May they be reminded that Jesus invites us to drink from His living water, the true wisdom that quenches our soul, that satisfies us, that brings us great joy, great peace, and a great hope. May you give them courage and confidence this morning, because we know it's very difficult to turn from their sin and turn to you. And may your people, in grace and mercy, in gentleness and kindness, receive them into this community, into this family, knowing that none of us are better than another. May we build our lives upon your good wisdom, so it won't crack and crumble, knowing it will withstand the adversities, the storms of life. We thank you for your Son, in whose name we pray.